You are looking good this morning. Turn to your neighbour and say, you look amazing. You look amazing. Thank you for our online community for joining us today. Nice to have you on board, particularly if you're one of the people that are down sick at the moment. We've got a number of people that have been sending messages in saying they're unwell today with the flu and whatnot. So get well soon. That's what we pray and hope for you. Well, our girls, all the girls got together on Friday night and had an amazing night. There was, I think, 75 women out for that special event with Ruth Larwill from Bloom Asia on Friday night. They had an amazing time. I'm getting reports about how good it was. So boys, pressure's on. Yeah. Pressure's on for all the men for our next men's event, Daz. We're going big on the next men's event, that's for sure. For all the girls, can I speak to you for just a moment? Ruth, when she was here, handed out a newsletter and many signed up for her newsletter for what they do with Bloom Asia, which is a really powerful and significant movement. And in that, there was, a format or platform, if you like, for people to give and donate and make donations towards Bloom Asia. And other women, a number of women have asked us about giving towards that. Can I just ask that what we would prefer, our preference would be that rather than give individually towards that, that we give collectively towards that as a group and also as a church and organization. So if you could help us with that, Pastor Marichelle will be communicating to all of the women how that's going to work in the coming days. And so look out for that contact just to help us on board and give collectively towards what they're doing. And also for all of our missions giving, by the way. We're going to be talking to our church in entirety in a few weeks' time about what we're doing to onboard for our new global missions vision and the refresh that we've set in terms of that. So we'll be speaking to you very, very shortly about that. How many of you have heard about what's going on in America at Ashbury University? Put your hand up if that rings a bell to you. For some of you, you may not be aware of what's going on, but it kind of links into what I want to talk about today. Today I'm talking about greater purpose. Greater is our theme for 2023. We're just believing for greater and greater things from God and for God in us and on us and through us for 2023. So we've been speaking into that theme as pastors for this year. And so we started on Vision Sunday about unpacking that. Then we talked about the greater name of Jesus and the greater power that there is for us in and through the name of Jesus. The Bible says that he has been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then Pastor Marichelle spoke a powerful message last week about the greater promises of God, the very great and very precious, not just great, not just precious, but very great and very precious promises of God, as the Apostle Peter records in his epistle. Today, we're going to talk about greater purpose, greater purpose. And I just get the sense that God is doing something right across the world at this moment, and you're not going to be left out. Sometimes we live in fear or fright that we're going to be left out in terms of what God does throughout the world. Because you hear it every now and then in America of a great revival that's happened or a great awakening that's happened. And, you know, in America, what they do in churches is they have meetings and they call them revival meetings. They just give it that tag, revival meetings. So we in Australia, we hear of that and we think, oh, there's a revival happening. No, it's not. It's just a meeting. It's just a meeting. It's just they call it a camp meeting or a revival meeting or something like that. We would call it a crusade in the old days. But every now and then a real move of God comes where something significant and something broad is happening. And here's what I think is taking place for what this is worth. This is what I think is happening in Ashbury at the moment. Let me give you a little bit of information about Ashbury University. Ashbury University is a Christian university. It's a Christian-based university with several thousand students who have some sort of faith affiliation that are there studying. Every day, would you say every day? Every day they have a chapel service. Not once a week. every day. They have a chapel service, have a preacher come, preaches the word of God to them for about an hour. They do that service as part of their curriculum. And on a particular day, everyone say particular day, the people chose to stay behind. Some of the young adults decided, you know what, we just want more. We want more. And so they stayed behind, and they just stayed behind with the band, and they played some music. It was all unorganized, and they prayed, and they gave some space for God to do some special things, and something started to stir. Something started to happen. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. We always want to make it about a preacher. We always want to make it about an evangelist. We always want to make it about someone with an anointing on their life that's going to break something open. But it came because of the hunger of people, because of the hunger of young adults that said, I want more. I don't want to just go to a service. I really want to have a transformation. And God started to do something, and people were attracted to it. And young adults were running throughout the auditoriums and throughout the hallways yelling out, revival has come, revival has come. How many of you know that's not normal activity on a university campus? That doesn't happen at QE University. That's not happening in our universities. It's a different kind of university. It's a Christian university where young people are crying out to God, and God shows up. And God does something significant and special. Some are calling it a revival. I'm calling it an awakening, where God is awakening purpose in his people. There's a whole bunch, thousands of young adults in that university right now that are having an encounter with God. An encounter with God. Can I say this to every person in church today? A greater sense of purpose is never going to be realized for any one of us until we have a greater encounter with God. Until we have an encounter with the presence of God, the person of God, that greater purpose is going to escape us. We'll just be doing life. We'll be going to work. We'll be paying our bills. We'll be living our social life. We'll come to church 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. It'll all look good and tidy. But God wants a whole lot more than that. God wants your faith life to be much more than a 9 a.m. service. For many believers, look, I've got to be honest. For many believers, if I went around the room and asked you, what did you read in the Word of God yesterday? Many would say, oh, I didn't read it yesterday. Well, what about the day before? I didn't read it the day before. What about the day before? I didn't read it. I haven't read it this week. I haven't read it this month. I haven't read it this year. God can't move with that. God needs something to work with. And so these students, they gave God something to work with. They had a deeper sense of calling, a deeper sense of surrender, and it resulted in a deeper sense of purpose. And that's what I want to speak to us about today. There are things that we can do. There are things that we can do to attract the presence and the person of God in our lives and have a greater sense of God working in our lives. I want this as a pastor. I want this as a person. I want this as a father. I want this as a leader. I want this for our church. I want this for every one of us. I want us to be free to lift our hands in church. Some people have never lifted their hands in church. Lift your hands in church. When you go to the football, you lift them. When you go to the cricket, you lift them. When you're cheering your team, you lift them. Lift them in church. Oh, is that too harsh? Did I offend anyone? I apologize, humble apologies if I did, because it's going to get a lot worse. We need a little bit of a stirring, don't we? We need a little bit of a stirring. We need a bit of stirring if we're going to pursue the greater things that God has for every one of us. Jesus said this. What a challenging verse. Jesus said this to his disciples. Very truly I say unto you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Everyone say greater things. Greater things than these, than the works I'm doing. Greater things will you do, because I am going to the Father. Here Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going, but don't worry, you're going to do greater. In other words, it gets a whole lot better from here in, is what Jesus is saying. Don't fear that I'm going away. I'm not leaving you. Greater sense of purpose is going to come on your life. This verse, probably more than any other verse in the Bible, causes me to question the way I live, the person that I am, and the church that I lead. This verse, the way I am, the person I am, the way I lead, and the church that I lead. this verse challenges me because it tells me we're going to do greater things than what Jesus did, because he has gone and another has come, the Holy Spirit. He speaks about the Holy Spirit in the verses that follow this. You know, in regards to purpose and our purpose in life, the purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. Now, personal fulfillment is a good deal. It's a good thing because it's fulfilling. It fulfills us personally. But beyond us, and this is what's happening in the hearts and lives of these American young adults at the moment, is there's a greater sense of purpose that's being deposited because of a God encounter in every one of them right now. And those thousands of young adult Christians are going to go out into communities as young professionals, into all levels of society, and they're going to outwork and outlive that purpose. And it's going to affect hundreds of thousands and millions of people because of a touch of God they've received in this moment. Don't ever underestimate what God can do in your life, through your life, through you, as when he touches you. When he touches you, he's always got in mind the layers of people behind you that are yet to come. So the purpose of our life is much more than our own personal fulfillment. It's greater than our own peace of mind, greater than our own happiness, greater than our own family, greater than our own career, greater than our wildest dreams. Purpose is really designed to drive us. You know, we're all driven by something. Some people are driven by fear. Some are driven by anxiety. Some are driven by guilt or shame and manipulated by memories. Some are driven by the past and events that have happened to them. Some are driven by resentment, anger, frustration. Some are driven by materialism or the desire to acquire. They're driven by that. It's a driving force in their life. Some are driven by the need for approval. God really intended that none of those should drive us, but the driving force of our life should be the greater purpose of God. Our best life is lived driven by God's greater purpose for our life. It gives meaning to life. It simplifies life. It focuses our life. It motivates our life, and ultimately, it prepares us for eternity. Today I want to give you three invitations, and they're just invitations. That's all it is. An invitation is an invitation. If you receive an invitation to my birthday party, you can go, nah. You can just go, nah, I don't feel like going. That's what you do with an invitation. You either receive an invitation or you reject an invitation. I'm praying you would receive it. I'm praying you would receive the invitation today and just not go, nah. Take it. Receive it. It's intended to give you good. Three invitations that set the stage for the greater life that God wants every one of us to live. It's an invitation to greater. An invitation to greater purpose and greater levels for our lives. And they all come from the story of a man in the Old Testament that would become one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. His name is Elisha. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19:19, it says, so he departed from there. That's Elijah. Elijah the great prophet. He departed from there. Where there was, is he was in trouble. He was running in fear of his life from a woman called Jezebel. And he was in fear of this woman who was going to destroy him. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to go and find this young man called Elisha. He's going to work alongside of you. He's going to become a prophet himself. So I want you to go and find him. Now, here's the deal. Elisha didn't know that God had already arranged for somebody called Elijah to come and bring this new level for him. Elisha is just working in the field. He's just doing his daily routine. He's just doing his thing. But God had seen him, and God had spoken to a prophet called Elijah about him and said, I want you to go and choose him. I want you to go and choose him and give him an invitation. That's all he was going to give. Just give him an invitation. So it says, he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. good name, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. So get the picture? He's a farmer. He's out in the field. There's 12 lines of oxen, and then he's on the right at the back end of these oxen working the field. And it says, then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. I'll explain what a mantle is in a moment. But he threw his mantle on him, is what it says. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. So obviously, Elisha realized that this mantle coming on him was something significant, something transforming, something life-changing. It was an encounter moment, something deeply spiritual that had just taken place to him. So he says, please let me go and kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Our theme of greater is an invitation to a higher calling. It's an invitation to a higher calling. That's what happened in this story here for young Elisha. He received an invitation from this experienced man of God, this experienced prophet, to come and follow him when he threw his mantle on him. Now, I want you to notice Elisha was not expecting that to happen on this day. This was just an ordinary day. It was probably a Monday. You know what it feels like to go to work on Monday? Probably a Monday. It was a boring day. Here he is at the back of the oxen doing what he did every single day, plowing the food. Now, I point out that he wasn't aware of what was about to take place, because when we talk about doing greater things in life ourselves and God using us to go into deeper levels and do greater, we dismiss ourselves. We often dismiss ourselves. I hear people dismiss themselves all the time because of their language, because of the language they use about their past or their present or their capacity or their ability to do something, and people disregard themselves. Don't dismiss what God wants to appoint on you. Don't disappoint what God wants to appoint you for. So here's Elisha. He's just plowing the field behind these beasts, working day in and day out in this field, when one day the prophet comes along and gives him an invitation to a higher calling. So Elisha's just doing his thing faithfully. He's just faithfully serving his mother, just faithfully serving his father, and on this day, God comes and chooses him. I don't know whether you've ever worked behind cattle. I don't know whether you've ever worked behind a beast like that and plowed fields and done that kind of work, but it's tedious. It's monotonous work. There's nothing flamboyant about plowing oxen. Elisha was just being faithful. He was just doing what he knew to do. He was not unstable. He was not flaky. He was not irresponsible. He wasn't waiting for a big opportunity to come. He was just being faithful, doing what he knew to do. And Elisha was responding to, rather than chasing after, opportunity. And then this opportunity presented itself when the prophet came and gave him an invitation to a higher calling. You know, when you're behind the backside of 12 rows of oxen, the scenery doesn't change much day to day. You're staring at the same thing every day. Every day, it's the same scenery, it's the same sound, it's the same smell every day. His job had stability, but it was full of monotony, where the smell in your nostrils is the smell of oxen dung all day. Anyone got a job like that? None of my staff put up their hand, please. Anyone have a job like that, where it just feels like you're staring at oxen rears all day? And the scenery is terrible, and the job stinks, and you don't really feel like getting up, and getting going. Maybe your job's like that. If your job's like that, can I say this? Just keep plowing. Just keep plowing. Just keep being faithful in what God has allowed you to do and called you to do. Because God may just be conspiring to turn up at your workplace one day and call you to a higher calling. When I say that God is calling us to greater, I don't mean to intimate that what we're doing is insignificant, because it's certainly not insignificant. Doing your job is not insignificant. Being a father or a mother is not insignificant. These are all significant things that we do. But what I think should happen is we should do them in a more significant way. We should do them with a greater sense of significance. That I go to work and I do my job with a sense of, I have a calling. God's called me to be who I am and called me to do what I do. And it's not even about what I do, it's about how I do what I do. It's not about my position and rung on the ladder, how high I am. It's about how I give myself to the calling and opportunity that God has given me. That I would work with a whole different set or level of passion than others that don't know God yet, because I have this sense of higher calling. Just maybe God wants us to do our jobs with a greater sense of calling than always looking for that greater opportunity. And here's my confidence, that when you live it that way and work it that way and do it that way and go to work that way and do your career that way, the greater opportunities will come because of the greater faithfulness and passion and level that each one of us show. So don't just slip in behind the butts of beast like oxen every day and go to work day after day in mindless repetition. Go to work with enthusiasm and excitement for the fact that that is part of the calling and destiny that God has for you. Maybe for some or for many today, God's not calling you to step out of where you are, but he's calling you to step up. Not to step out, but step up. People notice when you step up. I notice when I see people step up, whether it's on one of our teams, the way we serve, whether it's on staff, the way that we lean in and give of ourselves for what we're doing. You know when people are stepping out. I know when people are stepping out. Like, I've been a pastor for decades now, and occasionally people leave church and move on. I know when people are leaving church. I know before they leave church that they're leaving church. Sometimes I know months before. Why? Because I've been doing it for decades. I also know those that are stepping up. It's easy to see those that step up and those that are lean in. They kind of pop. They pop is what they do. Wherever they present, they pop. They're enthusiastic. They're happy to be here. They're excited to be in the house of God. I see the ho-hum. Do you see it? Do you see what I see? You see the ho-hum. And we've got to not allow the ho-hum. We've got to allow ourselves to understand God has called us to a higher calling. To a higher calling with what he wants to do in our lives and who he wants us to be. I want to talk to the person today who wakes up Monday morning and goes to work behind oxen. Not literally, but goes to work behind oxen. And you can't see God doing greater things in your life. And you can't see a higher calling or great sense of purpose for you. I want to suggest to you today that God is standing at the doorway of your life, opening up the door to greater things and greater sense of purpose. I want to suggest to you that that possibility is there. And it's actually always there, in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your failings, in spite of your lack of capacity, that God is calling us all to a higher calling. Now, in this story, when the mantle of Elijah hit Elisha's back, when he laid it on him, it was literally like a jacket like mine, but it wasn't as nice as mine. It was an animal skin, was what it was. And for the prophet, the mantle represented his anointing. It represented the touch of God that was on his life. It represented his office. He was known by that. Like for many clerics today, they wear a little white thing here, and it identifies them when you see them in the community, that they're a man of God by the way they dress. That's how the prophets were in that day. They were pretty wild in the way they dressed. So they wore animal skins, and it was known as a mantle. The mantle represented the call, the authority, the anointing, and the office of a prophet. Now, when God spoke to Elijah the prophet, to appoint Elisha, who was working in the field, as his understudy. I want you to notice he didn't sit down in the cafe and have a cup of coffee with him and have a chat with him about what his 10-year plan was and about what the contract would look like and about what the company could do for him or the church could do for him or anything like that. He didn't ask him any of those questions at all. He didn't ask him if he was happy in his work. He didn't discuss the career prophet, being a prophet at all. He just threw his mantle on him. Now Jesus, keep that in mind. Jesus has said to us, whoever believes in me will do the same works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I am going to the Father. When Jesus says whoever, he means whoever. He was speaking to the disciples, but there's a wider, broader meaning here. It means whoever, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're single again, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're managerial, whether you're leadership, whether you're a worker, whatever your level of life might be, whatever your story may be, all God needs from us is faith and faithfulness. That's all God needs is faith and faithfulness from us. If you can receive it, God wants to put his mantle on you. God wants to throw something on you. And Jesus referred to it here. He said, because I am going to the Father, you're going to do greater things. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit. The mantle that God throws on us today is not an animal skin. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes and lives inside of everyone that believes in God and fills them with his presence and with his power and the authority of the name of Jesus. That's his mantle that's on the modern day church. That's what's happening in Ashbury at the moment. It's not a religious thing. It's not a traditional thing. It's a spirit thing. And when you get a spirit thing, you can't control it. You can't make it conform to anything. It doesn't play by my rules at all. Because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he popped. He surprised everybody. They were gathering. They were praying. They were seeking. And then it says a rushing mighty wind came into the room. It stirred the room. It looked like there were tongues of fire that came upon everybody. God's power came. They began to speak in unknown tongues, the tongues of other nationalities, so that all the people gathered around Jerusalem at that time could understand the marvelous works of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes. He comes, and he comes for people that seek him, that want him, that are hungry for him, that want to go more than just doing their job, working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. It's hard work doing the 9 to 5. Actually, 9 to 5 would be good. 9 to 5, you know, going to work every day behind the oxen. But on this day, Elisha's world changed forever and something lit up in him because this day the mantle was thrown on him. Can I say, no matter who you are or where you've been or what you've done, no matter how much time you've wasted, whether you're young or old, inexperienced, male or female, rich or poor, greater things start the moment you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and be who the Holy Spirit wants to be in your heart and your life and in your world. Jesus went so the Spirit could come. And that's why he said greater things would happen. Because up until now, it would be limited really primarily to him doing great things. Now it's everybody doing great things. You get great things. You get great things. You get great things. You get great things. We all get great things. When a greater God comes and fills you, it outworks in your life. So the first calling we have is an invitation to a deeper calling. Greater is also an invitation to deeper surrender. If you want great purpose working in your life, you've got to realize, first of all, you have a deeper calling. But then secondly, that's got to result in a deeper level of surrender for all of us. I want you to notice that Elisha doesn't just pray a prayer when the mantle falls on his shoulders. He just doesn't follow Elijah. He makes sure that he has nothing to run back to. That moment the mantle hit him, it changed his life and he knew he could never live the way he was living again. He had to walk away from some things and live at a greater level of surrender than he'd ever lived before. He had to make sure there was no plan B. There was no back door. And so his first action was to burn the plows and burn the cows. And he had a barbecue. He had a barbecue and invited all of his friends, and he said goodbye to them. It says, as he left, he ran up after Elijah and said, please let me go and kiss my father and mother. That means, let me say goodbye to my folks. And then I'll follow you. And he said this. He said to him, go back again. Go back to where you came from. For what have I done to you? In other words, he was asking him a question. Do you realize what just happened when I threw my mantle on you? Do you realize what happened in that moment? And so Elisha goes back and he does something to signify that he is never going to come back to that old life ever again. And he burns everything. He burns it all and celebrates with his friends. It's a picture of what happens when you and I give our lives to Christ and we become a believer. You know, when you become a believer, there's much more than a transaction of putting up your hand and saying, yes, Jesus, I'll choose you. There's also the sense of, I'm going to close the back door. I'm going to walk away from the ways of the world and who I have been and how I have lived. And I'm going to live differently. I'm going to live surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live without argument or protest or opinion about what I think God wants me to be and do. I'm going to surrender to Him and His will and His word and His ways. I'm going to let go so I can embrace. Here's the problem for a lot of believers. They want to embrace, but they're still hanging on. And it's hard to embrace the future when you're still hanging on to the past. And what Elisha knew he had to do, he had to burn the plow and burn the cows so that he couldn't go back. Because it's a big mistake to try and go forward and hang on to your cows. If you can still hear mooing behind you, you've got a problem. There's some things you've got to let go of if you're going to embrace the future purpose that God has for you. In other words, what God wants us to do is to understand that we don't only want to follow God into greater things, we want to follow Him as the greater thing. He is the greater thing. He is the greatest thing. And when we follow Him as the greater thing, then He allows us to do greater things on His behalf. I think often we underestimate the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed us, as the Bible talks about. And I know that's old-fashioned language, like to talk about the blood of Christ in church life and redemption and those kinds of thoughts. But there's a real truth in understanding that I've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, and I am not my own, but I now belong to Him. When Elisha asked, can I go back and kiss my mum and dad and say goodbye and do this with my friends, what the prophet said to him when he said, go back, for what have I done to you? What the prophet was saying is, what just happened then was more significant and serious and spiritual than you really understand. So go away and think about it. Weigh up the cost of whether you really want to follow me. And he did. And he went and he burnt the plow. He went and burnt it all. He turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, had a barbecue and the oxen equipment, and gave it to the people. And they all ate. Then he arose and he followed Elijah and he became his servant. You know, when God saves you, he wants you to follow him and become his servant and serve him and honor him. Why burn the plows? Why burn the cows? Why not just sell them and make some money? Why not give them away? Well, because God never put this story in the Bible to teach us about the economy of and best stewardship of farming equipment. It's a picture of an invitation to a higher calling, a greater sense of separation, and a greater level of surrender that would ultimately lead to the greater sense of purpose that God has for every one of us. You see, church, we are called and have been called to follow the one that is greater. We're called to follow God. Follow God in the way that we live. Don't ever get that out of order. God is not following you. God doesn't follow me. I follow Him. The song says, I will follow Him. Follow Him wherever He may go. Not He follow me. A lot of believers have this relationship with God where they think God is following them. No, I am following Him. If God's not in front of you, be worried. If you've lost sight of Him in your front view, Be concerned, because we should be following him. Jesus is throwing his mantle on every one of us. He has thrown his mantle on every one of us so that we would be involved in greater. He calls us out of spiritual survival and mediocrity and calls us to a place of higher calling, greater surrender, to do greater things in our life. In other words, he calls us into transformation. Here's the thing about transformation. You cannot transform while you conform. You cannot transform while you conform. Once again, old-fashioned preaching 101 right here. But the Apostle Paul, with great strength as an apostle to the early church, talks about the need to not conform to the patterns and ideologies and philosophies of this world, but to be renewed in our mind and transformed in our thinking and our attitudes of our hearts and our minds by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Transformation demands a break from the ways of the world and the patterns of the world. We live in the world, is what the Bible tells us, but we're not of the world. We're not of the world. In other words, our source doesn't come from the world. Our supply doesn't come from the world. Our authority doesn't. It all flows from the one that is greater. So the greater life that God is calling every one of us to, it doesn't start with us imagining and planning out a perfect future, and it's all good and proper to do that, and we should do that. We should have plans. It doesn't start with building your dream home, and that's not wrong either. Nothing wrong with having your dream home. God give you your dream is what I pray in regards to that. But it all starts with absolute surrender and burning of your plows and burning of your cows and offering yourself as a blank canvas to God, saying, I will follow you wherever you may go. The world behind me, the cross before me. The cross before me. You know, many never get to greater because they don't leave good enough behind. And good enough is not great, it's good enough. But good enough is not what we want. We want greater. Jesus didn't promise you that you would do good enough. He promised that you would do greater. And so we step out for God a little, but we still have our hand on the plow behind us. Our old life, our old patterns, our old connections, our old relationships. And the problem with having your hand behind, still grabbing a hold of those things, is this. When times get tough and challenging, and they will, we go right back to the world and right back to our old ways and right back to our old person. God didn't call you to become a believer for you to remain the same person that you are. The Bible says when you become a believer, everything changes. I looked up the word everything in the Greek to understand it deeper. Guess what it means? Everything. It means everything. It means everything that you can imagine changes as a result of Jesus throwing his mantle on you and calling you and asking you to come into deeper surrender. There's not an area of our life that he wants to remain untouched. So greater, lastly, is an invitation to greater purpose. So it's an invitation to greater calling, an invitation to greater surrender, and it's an invitation to a greater sense of purpose. You know, I think God is the only one in our lives that tells us and calls us to a higher calling in life and tells us how to get there is by going deeper and deeper into dependence on him. Jesus is the only one that has said to us, anyone who doesn't take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus said, you've got to take up your cross. He talks about dying daily to yourself. What even does that mean? When you read that in the Bible about taking up your cross and dying to yourself every day. What it means is this, is you will be limited in life until you've set fire to whatever has tethered you from the past or tied you to the past. There are things that tie us to the past that we've just got to burn. We've got to burn old ways, burn old habits, burn old connections and relationships that are not serving us well. so that we can walk into the greater level that God has for us. You know, there is and there always will be a moment when God throws his mantle on you. That's what's happening in Ashbury right now. There's a mantle that gets thrown for the first time on many young adults that have just been very religious in the way they've approached God. They've done chapel every day, come in and do this and go out and religiously go to church like a lot of believers do, just religiously go to church. But here's the deal about the church. The church never saved you. The church doesn't save anyone. But the church is what it is because God has called it to be what it is. The church is what you belong to when you come get called out of the kingdom of darkness. In other words, when you become right with God and you're saved, God calls you to be a part of his church. So the church is actually a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But there's a whole bunch of people in the world right now that have left the church and they're pointing fingers at the church and they're saying this: why is what's happening in Ashbury not happening in the church? Why is it not happening in the church I left? And even some believers in church that are in churches are saying, why is that not happening in my church? Why is it not happening? Well, I can tell you it's never going to happen for people that are disconnected from the church. Never. What happened in Ashbury happened because every day these young adults were seeking the heart of God. The guy who preached, because we all want to be the preacher that preaches on the day revival takes place. Because in 100 years' time, they'll talk about you. Jonathan Edwards, just to throw a name at you that hardly anyone in the room would know. Amy Semple McPherson, another name that hardly anyone would know. Catherine Kuhlman, another great. We all want to make it about a name. And they are great names. But there's a greater name. There's a greater name. It wasn't about the person. So the guy that spoke on the day the awakening happened and started in Ashbury, he's bewildered. Because he preached a sermon like he's preached many times in that chapel service. He walked off stage, he rung his wife, and he said, what a train wreck today was. That's the worst sermon I've ever preached in my entire life. Next day. Everyone say next day? Next day. The mantle. And all of a sudden, an awakening has happened. And there are people now that want to make it about him. What did you preach? What did you? You must have prayed a lot. No. You must have really been in the zone. No, it was the worst sermon I've ever preached in my entire life. What was it? It was the people hungry for the presence of God, not looking to a man, but looking to the greater one. You can't fabricate that. You can't manipulate that. Some of my worst sermons are my best sermons. I'm hoping this is a real bad sermon. Some of you are going, yeah, you're right there. I'm hoping this is a bad sermon because when I don't do well, God can do best. We need a greater sense of purpose, a greater sense of calling. We need a greater sense of surrender for every one of us because God has so much more for us in our lives and so much more for each one of us to do. And I think we underestimate what we can do. We undervalue the places, the spaces that God places us in life. And we look at other people and think, well, if I was there, I could do so much more. No, God has you where you are. And just shine where you are. But here's my question. What is God calling you to burn? What's he calling you to surrender? What's he calling you to give up? Emotionally, relationally. The lesser things that you're hanging on to that block the greater things. Surrender it. Just lay it down. And when you lay it down, you don't have to do it with bright lights and everything else that goes on and pumping music and just find space with God. That's what these students in Ashbury did. They just found space with God. Come into a greater sense of dependence on God and burn the unforgiveness that you've hung on to for so long. Burn it. Burn the bitterness, the excuses, the blame. The plow that you need to burn, it could even be good things. Good things that you've got to burn. See, what Elisha burnt, they weren't bad things. They were good things that he burnt. We all have plows to burn and cows to burn. I don't know what your cow or plow is, but I do know you need to burn it. I can promise you, Elisha never regretted what he burnt that day. He never regretted it. I've never regretted the cows I've burnt. I've never regretted that. The things you burn, God sees. They're a sacrifice to Him for a greater level of surrender. You know, when you burn stuff like that, not literally, don't go home and start a fire, please. I need to say that because sometimes people misread that. Like, don't go home and burn the cows. Like, you know, you drive past someone's farm and you see cows, don't burn them. You'll end up in jail. Don't burn stuff like that. It's an analogy. It's a picture. Some stuff you need to burn around your world, on your life. It can seem like God is taking stuff away when you do that, but God never takes anything away without bringing something greater. When the Father took Jesus, His Son, out of this world, and Jesus said, "You'll do greater things," it was speaking of the Holy Spirit that would now come. God always replaces with a greater sense of something to fill your life and take you forward to be who you could be. So I want to finish the service now, which would be a good thing to do. And I thought, how are we going to finish this, God? What should we do? What should we do? I think we'll sing, because we always sing. But I'd like to surrender. And I'd like to invite you to surrender. Because if there's one thing I know about purpose, it's this. I have so many people ask me about purpose and how they can find it in life. What's my purpose, Pastor? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? All I know is my purpose is found in Him. My greater things in life are found in the greater one of life and getting closer to Him and understanding I have a higher calling in Him and I need a higher surrender for Him and I need to go into deeper levels of relationship with Him. So everything I've spoken about today is an invitation for you to develop a greater level and a greater sense of purpose, of who you are. And that is never realized until you understand who God is. So just maybe this morning, we could all stand to our feet and maybe we could all lift our hands. Maybe we could all lift our hands. And maybe the lifting of your hands is for you to say, God, I want greater. I want a greater level. I want to surrender greater. I want to lay my life down. I want to take your life up. I want to live realizing there's a mantle on me. There's a mantle on me. There's a calling on me. There's an anointing on me. God has anointed me to do not only good things, but greater things. Greater things is what He's spoken over me. Maybe you could gather anywhere you like in this hall today. Maybe some of you want to come down the front today. Maybe some of you want to kneel on the ground today. I don't know, whatever posture you want to take. We're going to sing a song that's kind of a mid-range song. And we're just going to ask God to come and move in your hearts, move in our lives today as we draw to a close. If you're going to come, come, let's sing.
All my days are held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
my life.
And all my life you have been faithful.
That's my story.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Father, for a greater sense of calling, for a greater sense of surrender in every one of us, and a greater sense of purpose that every one of us would realize is in you. Father, my prayer is that you would awaken something in us, that we'd not just religiously do what we do, whether it's work, whether it's our faith, whether it's our gathering together, but that we would come wanting deeper levels of you. When we say greater, that's who you are. That's who you are. And we simply want you. We want to know that your mantle is on every one of us. Every person in this room today, in Jesus' name, to know they are called of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit and empowered by His presence to live life well and to do greater things than Jesus did. That's your hope for us. That's our prayer for ourselves, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, when we gather in a few weeks' time, we're going to have that presence night that Cheryl spoke about. What I love about the presence night is this. It's going to be just unstructured. It's just going to be a few songs. It's going to be space. There's going to be prayer. It's going to be worship. It's going to be quiet. There's going to be cheering. It's going to be a whole range of things. It's just going to be a Holy Spirit moment. And I want to invite you to be there, seriously, to seek the presence and the person of God. So that's in a few weeks' time on a Sunday night. It's next week. Next week on Sunday night. Come out Sunday morning also. But Sunday night we're just going to do an unstructured worship moment. That means these guys that lead us in praise and worship, that do such an amazing job every week, are just going to work in an unstructured way with me in how we do what we do. So much of what we do on a Sunday morning is structured because it needs to be. But I feel that God wants to do some unstructured. There's a lot of talk around today about deconstruction. I want to do some unstructured moments. I can remember as a young man, when I was a young man, I remember going to camps and I remember having Holy Spirit moments that were just unstructured. I remember standing at altar calls and not wanting to go home. I remember just standing there, arms raised, singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I remember having those God moment encounters, tears flowing from my eyes, just God's presence washing my heart, preparing me for greater calling, greater surrender, and greater purpose. And I just feel like we need some of that. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need that. You need that. So I'm going to release you to go into cafe right now. But I want this zone just to be left alone for a moment. I don't want anyone running around this zone for a moment. If you want to stay here for a moment, you stay here for a moment. The stage people, they may walk away at some point soon. But you stay if you want to stay and seek God. So we're open for hospitality. Our cafe is open. Our food co-op is open. Have a moment of just real community with people today. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Seek God in your own moments, in your own way, and God will come. That's His promise. God bless you. thank you.